So would you introduce yourselves, please?
Hello, good morning. My name is Rodriguez. I'm in San Francisco.
I am Malik Benjelloun, the director of Searching for Sugar Man.
So 1970, I was just saying to Malik, now in Detroit you had CKLW and all of that, right? Which I used to listen to in New York, you know, late at night. But you, 1970, Motown's going strong. But I said something to Malik that's kind of interesting. 1970 was not a killer year for Bob Dylan, right? Because he has Like a Rolling Stone in 1967, he has a string of hits, but 1970 was not a time for this to be recorded when you come right down to it. And I bet no one said that to you, but everybody's trying to, you know, unravel the mystery of why this didn't sell millions of copies. But I'm not sure any record in this vein. You know, the country was terrible in 1970. There's poverty, there's war, there's all this. And here is your producer who just had a hit with Scorpio. And next thing you know, he gets a tape, and I'm saving you the story. He gets a tape. He puts you in a studio, and not just in a studio, but there's a lot of money being spent. At that moment in time, when you're there in the studio, And you're recording these songs and you're surrounded by all these people and you've suddenly gone from a bar called The Sewer, which I believe the full name of the bar, I love it, is The Sewer by the Sea. You go from The Sewer to this recording studio. What's going through your head at that moment in time?
I'm glad to be being interviewed by someone who's so well researched.
Oh, thank you.
The young bloods are like that to me. And the thing is, thank you. Yes, I was playing the bars in Detroit, and the thing is that I was offered to start Sussex Records. I was going to be the first product on it.
Now, that's not in the story anywhere. So you were going to be the first artist on this Buddha subsidiary.
Sure. And so when he offered that to me, so we did start. It was didn't take much time to record that, 4 or 5 sessions. So. It was done quickly.
But I read it was it 7 nights I read?
Is that it? I don't know. Yeah, well, that's probably true. So it was quite something. And they asked me to do a couple of their songs, which I agreed to do, but I really don't use those songs when I perform because...
It's so funny, that's why you're here.
Yeah,
written in your style, so to speak.
And so I read them, I didn't like some of that stuff, and so I... changed it a bit, and then we did 8 songs of mine, and nothing happened. So
yeah, and yet you're with the producer that played on Cloud 9 and played on Ball of Confusion, and these songs, interestingly enough, fit in terms of subject right in there. They were highly produced, right?
Yes. I want to mention Dennis Coffey as a producer in that. Motown had 4 guitarists that they used for the for those sessions, and Dennis Coffey was one of those people, blue-eyed soul. And the thing is, he was on so many records of Motown. If you listen to Glass Night and the Pips' song "Friendship Train," he's the one that sets up that whole feeling for that song, which is mega hit. And then he brings the wah-wah pedal to Motown.
Talk to me about now the soundtrack. Is truly intriguing to me because there is an official soundtrack, right? And it's a mix of both albums, is that correct?
Yes, it is. It's the co-factor that we did in Detroit, and then there's Coming From Reality, which we recorded in London, England. And I just want to mention, too, in the music field, Fleetwood Mac has just been released. A Tapestry by Carole King has just been released. Elton John is just getting released. So there was a lot of product coming out, so that's maybe what happened as well. So,
you
should answer that question. There will be a soundtrack for the film, which is basically the films in the movie, which I think are at least my favorite film, my favorite songs. There are so many great songs of Rodriguez, but actually there are only 29. He only wrote 29 songs, which is also something to think about. About the tragedy that Rodriguez's career came to halt in 71. I think I read either it was Paul McCartney or John Lennon who said the first 100 songs I made wasn't even worth recording. Then it started to get interesting. Rodriguez only wrote 29 songs and they're all on record.
And that's and but you know, and this gives it a whole new opportunity, and I kind of want to mix this question up, but it's not like, despite all of this, you're here for a movie, you're going to tour a million cities, you're still living in Detroit, and it's not like the music business, even today, nobody becomes a, it's all gone full circle, nobody becomes a millionaire short of the Lady Gagas of the world. You know, nobody becomes a millionaire in the music business, and even back then it was about passion for you. You knew you weren't going to become a millionaire, and today you're doing this now. I mean, you just turned 70, and you, to me, I wake
today.
Up in the morning.
Music's easy for me. I enjoy it. It's not a competitive thing for me. It's not a spectator sport. You can dance to it. You can sing with it. You can meet. You know, there's so many things that it teaches you, a lot of things. You know, and so, I find music easy.
How does it feel? You're sitting next to this man. You're touring with him. He's obviously, you know, grew up in he didn't grow up in rock and roll. He grew up in inner city Detroit and had 29 songs and wanted to get the message out to people. So when you watch interviews like this, when you see people watching the film, what do you feel? You must be like, oh my gosh, this is insane that I was able to do this.
Yes, I feel just humbled to be part of this. I feel like it's the most beautiful privilege I ever got in my life to be the one who is able to tell this story, and to, if I get people to listen to those songs, it makes it even more so much more worth it, because it is such a great album if you think about it. I really do. In South Africa and Australia, the two places where he's famous, he is on par with Dylan and Rolling Stones and The Doors. He's as famous and as popular and as loved and as, I mean, on that pantheon of rock gods, you know. And in a way, that's where he belongs. That's where those songs belong.
I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich. Mm-hmm. And what it is, and we'll do three here in this particular case, it's two songs from the artist as the bread, and then songs by anybody else you want to play in between.